Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Have you ever made the comment, have you ever met someone, seen someone, and you made the comment, man, that person is gifted. I mean, that person is talented. That person can do something that I can't do. I don't know about you, but I've been watching a lot of March Madness on television the last month, and I haven't been really watching the men so much. I've been watching the girls. I've been watching one particular lady. Her name is Caitlin Clark. Any Caitlin Clark fans in the room? I watch her play basketball. She kind of came out of nowhere for me personally, and I think when I see her play, I think, man, she is gifted. If you've never heard of her, you can look her up on Facebook, watch her reels. You'll see her making three-point shots with consistency from the logo. It's like, man, she's gifted. Or maybe you're watching, maybe you like to watch golf a little bit. There was a guy by the name of Tiger Woods who for like 20 years dominated the sport. But he didn't just have a great work ethic. You would also have to just say, man, he's gifted at hitting a little small golf ball far with accuracy. I mean, he just seems to be gifted. We could go down the list of people who have made a lot of money by leveraging their gift in a particular area. There's some of those kind of people in our church. Like Megan just applauded Brandy and Jessica, who helped put this women's thing together. And if you want something highly organized and efficient, man, those ladies are gifted at doing that. We've got Jerry Baker who is here almost every Sunday. I don't even know where he is. There he is back there at the back. If you're a guest, chances are, whether you wanted to or not, he hugged your neck on the way in. He's like gifted at hospitality. I begin to think of Jonathan Goff, who's back there at our sound booth. Almost every time the doors are open, he's back there. He's gifted at tech stuff, which I thank God for when stuff goes wrong. I think of Corey Kruger, who helps lead our men's and plays drums. And if you've ever heard him speak, he's just gifted at that. I think of Roger Gertz, who's sitting over here. I haven't figured out anything that man doesn't know how to do. He's gifted at all of it. And I'm kind of jealous. I'm just saying, you've seen people that you thought, man, they're gifted. And sometimes when you see someone who is gifted in something, if you're like me, your next thought is like this. Man, I wish I was gifted like that. There's some of you in this room who are relational geniuses who can make outsiders feel like insiders in 2 seconds. That's a talent I wish, that's a gift I really wish I had. But here's, no matter where your gift is today, I want to tell you a couple things about it today. Number one, we're all gifted for service to God's kingdom. But I also want to tell you today that our giftedness is not about our glory, it's about God's glory. Our gift isn't about making us known, it's about making Jesus known. Every one of us have a gift inside of us that God has put there, and it's been put inside of you for one purpose and one purpose only, to make Jesus known. And I would say this, anytime your giftedness starts drawing more attention to you or other things than it does to Jesus, we need to be careful, because all of our giftedness is for Him. Romans chapter 12, we've been preaching through the book of Romans for several months now. I took a little vacation from it for Easter and last week, but we're back on track today. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, Paul says, "By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not always have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If one man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, which is, could be a sermon all by itself and maybe someday. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Let's stop right there and pray. Father, thank you that you have gifted all of us for service in your kingdom. God, I'm thankful you didn't use a cookie cutter. You didn't make us all the same. You made us unique and individually, so individual, so we can display your glory unique and individual ways that all point to the uniqueness of our God. Pray you help me preach what you want preached. Help us to respond what the Holy Spirit will say to us, and we'll all give you thanks. Everybody in the room said, amen. So you were created by God. You got that part? You're created for a purpose. God has a purpose for you. So you're created on purpose, for a purpose, and that purpose is to give glory to God. And there's no exceptions to the rule. You may think, well, I'll just put it this way. God doesn't make spare parts. Has your spouse or maybe yourself, have you ever bought a piece of furniture from IKEA? When that comes in the mail, it comes in roughly 125,000 pieces. And you get the joy of putting it together. And when I put it together, there's always spare parts. And Megan always asks me, she's like, why are there leftovers? And I just tell her, they give you extra pieces. They just give them to you. Can I tell you, God doesn't make spare parts. He created you. You have a distinct purpose, a distinct function. And when you are not in your purpose and your function, it may seem like you're extra to someone else. But can I tell you, that means the body of Christ is not as strong as it could be if you were planted in the house of God, serving where He's called you to serve, serving Jesus and serving others. And when we serve Jesus and we serve others, we serve out of our giftedness. We serve out of our relationship with Him. We are engaging the gift that God has given us when we serve. So I want to share with you a few things real quick about being gifted for service. Number one, there's no such thing, I just said this, there's no such thing as an ungifted believer. Paul says, by the grace God has given me, I'm writing you this letter. I'm teaching you these principles. I'm sharing God's word with you. With a measure of faith God has given you, he goes on to say, everything we do for God is because God has put inside of us a gift to use for His glory. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, each of you, not some of you, each of you should share whatever gift he's been given to serve others. I'm not going to read the rest of that scripture to you today, but you know, there's three different places. There's over 22 different gifts listed in three different places where people begin to define, where writers of God's word begin to define the different gifts He puts on people, but none of those lists are inclusive. Why aren't they inclusive? Because I believe if you are going to have a list of inclusive gifts that God gives people, we don't have enough paper. You couldn't write them all down. God gifts people in ways that are unique to them but brings glory to Him. The same grace that brought salvation to you is the same grace that's put gifts in you so you can be fruitful for the kingdom of God. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and I'm doing what I'm doing. If you'll just look at some of your favorite characters in the Bible, many of the well-knowns would have been unknowns, except God gifted them, right? David was nothing to consider physically, but God chose him and gifted him. Moses struggled to put sentences together without getting his tangle all tongued up, but God gifted him to talk. Abraham had a fear problem that caused him to sometimes lie to people. But God gifted him despite that. all of us in this room, and some of you I knew as I preached this, I knew you would be sitting there arguing with me in your mind, but I'm going to say it anyway. You are gifted by God for God. You are. You are gifted by God for God's purpose. You have gifts of God residing inside of you. You may say, well, Pastor, whatever I can do, anyone can do. You might be right, but that doesn't mean they can do it like you do it. You might be able to open the door. You say, well, Pastor, anyone can be an usher. Anyone can serve the hospitality team. Yeah, but they can't do it like you do it. There may be a word that God wants you to share, an encouraging expression on your faith, an encouraging word that God wants to give through you that can't be received by them through anyone else but you. First church I pastored, we had a 93-year-old, I believe he was 93 years old when he finally passed away, but I went there, he was right at 90. And he would walk into church every Sunday morning, and his pants looked like this because they were stuffed with bubble gum. And every person under the age of 30 who walked in our church doors, Brother Pete would give him a hug, welcome them. He couldn't hear you. He couldn't hear worth a flip. But he would greet you, hug you. Sometimes he'd hug you so hard he'd kill you. But he would greet you, hug you, welcome you, and offer every person a piece of bubble gum without fail. He'd go to the candy store during the week and refill his supplies. But you know what he was doing? He was welcoming people. I don't see bubblegum hander outer in Scripture. But there's generations of kids that felt welcome to that church because someone who on the outside could have been pretty intimidating broke down every wall there was to say, hey, we want you here. He had a spiritual gift of welcoming people. I'm just going to tell you the end of my sermon right up front. There's no telling what God could continue to do and doing greater exploits through our church if just a few more of us would say, Lord, whatever it is, just use me. Use me too. Use me too, Lord. Because God can use all of us. And no one can be used in certain ways like you. Number two. So that's the good news. God can use anyone. Here's a sort of accountability part of that. Giftedness is not a substitute for spiritual maturity. I was confused a lot in my life because I thought if someone was being used greatly, then they must have their stuff together. This is sort of a challenge and some good news, all lumped in one. Number one, God uses people even when they don't have all their stuff together. I am exhibit A because I don't always have all my stuff together, but God uses me. But that does not negate the demand upon my life to be growing, not just in my gift, but in my relationship with the Lord. Verse number 3, Paul says, hey, everybody's got to examine yourself. In other words, there were some people that were suffering with arrogance while using their gift for the Lord. And Paul is saying, listen, you got to work on that. There are those who possessed gifts from God without the fruit of God coming through their life. And it's not one or the other. We got to have both. The Lord wants you to have both. That's why Ephesians chapter 4, the word says, to live a life that is worthy of your calling. Giftedness, it's all of us have it. We're all gifted in some way. Some of you make me sick because God hasn't gifted you in one way. He's gifted you in like 7 ways, and I get kind of spiritually envious at times. But we've all been gifted in certain ways. But see, that gifting makes ministry possible. It's our character that makes ministry profitable. Long term. Understand that? We don't need one without the other. We need both. So we got to add to our gifting commitment to the character of Jesus too. And Paul addresses, he says, listen, you got to examine yourself. There's two major things that we got to, two mindsets we got to battle when it comes to allowing God to use our giftedness. The first mindset we got to battle is this look at me mentality. You ever heard your kids tell you, hey, Dad, look at me, right? That's got to be some of the most popular words of my kids. Dad, watch this. Dad, look at here. We all want to be seen. And Paul says at some point that can go so deep that our whole mentality is, look what I can do. Look what I've done. Look at who I am because of what I can do. It's all about the gifting and not about the gift giver. We got to be careful when everything that's coming out of our mouth and coming out of our spirit is a look at me. But there's another mentality we also have to guard against is this. It's the don't look at me mentality, right? You see a need, you hear of a need, you see an opportunity, you hear of an opportunity, and your knee-jerk reaction is, whoop, don't look at me. Some of the most damning words I've heard in church are these. I've done my time. Pastor, I wish you wouldn't say it. I know it, so I'm going to say it again. I've done my thing. I took my turn. So are you asking God just to go ahead and take you today? Because if you got air in your lungs, you got a gift inside your belly that needs to be used for the power and the kingdom of God. Don't discount God's ability to use you. Don't embrace a look at me mentality, but certainly don't embrace a don't look at me mentality. Say, God, here I am. Use me however you want to. I think Moses probably struggled with a don't look at me mentality, right? Burning bush experience. God's calling him to go back to Egypt, bring freedom. And Moses, in my word, says, don't look at me. I can't talk. I get mixed up. Get somebody else. Don't look at me. What if we just changed our language to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Use me. Third, you're gifted for service, and you have to understand that giftedness determines your function, not your value. The person who serves God in front of people or behind the scenes, they're both equally valuable in the kingdom of God. They just serve in different functions. The scripture says we are all gifted in various functions. I have 10 fingers, or if you want to get technical, 8 fingers and 2 thumbs, but I got 10 of them. I don't want to lose any of them. I need all of them. Right? They all got names, and I'm going to keep them. If you don't know the names, see my kids after church, they'll tell you. Their giftedness determines your function, not your value. Have you ever hurt one of your fingers and had the thought, I didn't realize how much I used that finger until I hurt it. I didn't know how much, I didn't know how many times I would accidentally hit my elbow until I hurt my elbow. All of a sudden, the importance of it is highlighted because there's pain there. Giftedness, listen, friends, doesn't matter if you have one gift or 10 gifts. Those are about function, not value. Because all of us are gifted and all of us are equally valuable in the kingdom of God. I started to bring my bicycle today, and I knew I was going to be short on time, so I didn't, but just imagine with me, I had a bicycle up here with me, and I might ask you to point out to me the unimportant parts of a bicycle. Someone might say, well, you don't need those reflectors. I mean, that's just kind of extra. Well, you don't need them unless you're going to go riding at night. then you might need them. You might even say, you really don't even need a seat. Because you could ride that thing standing up for a little while. You might look and say, you know, Pastor, you probably don't need that water bottle holder on there or the water bottle itself. That's true if we're only going 5 miles. But if we're going 60, we need it. Pastor, you probably don't even need that cell phone holder on the front of it that you got. Yeah, unless I don't have a clue where I'm going, then I need that thing to tell me where I'm going. Why am I bringing those things up? Because most of us, when we don't see our giftedness or we don't see the value of our giftedness, most of us, when we feel that way, it's because we're looking at our life on a short-term basis and not an eternal basis. You may not see the significance of your life today, and that's because you're not looking at your life through the lens of the difference it can make for eternity. So that brings me to my fourth point this morning is this. You have a gift. Cherish it. Live up to it. Walk worthy of it. Understand it determines your function, not your value. All of us are gifted differently, not because God values you more than me or me more than you. We're gifted differently, but it doesn't adjust our value in the kingdom of God. But what does determine a little bit of value, not to God, but the value of the gift, is whether we use it or not. A gift unused is a gift denied. I don't know if you noticed Romans 6 through 8. 7 different times in 2 verses, Paul says these 2 words. Use it. Use it. You've been gifted. Use it for the glory of God. A few years ago, I came to church, and a friend of mine told me he got a speeding ticket the night before. And I might have this number wrong, but it was somewhere in the neighborhood of going 120 miles per hour. And I knew he drove a work truck. And I said, you got a ticket going that fast in a work truck? And he said, no. I was in my 6-month-old Mustang Shelby. I said, wait a minute. You got a brand new Mustang Shelby? We're friends. How did I not know this? How do I know to ask to borrow this if I don't know you have it? He said, well, I don't want to get it messed up. I don't want to get it dirty. I want to wash it. So I keep it locked up. No one can see it except for the rare occasion when I drive it. He had a gift that no one knew about. A lot of people didn't get the benefit of borrowing because he kept it hidden. A few weeks ago, we had some of our dear missionary friends here who just did a phenomenal job, presented us with the Fire Bible that we helped them produce. And when they first went on the field, around 2006 or so, we were good friends there those times, and he was pastoring a great church. And I remember when he resigned his church to go on the mission field, I asked him, I said, Trent, what are you doing? Man, you got this comfortable life, pastoring a great church, awesome, but what are you doing? Here we are almost 20 years later. I'll never forget his answer. He said, Greg, I just went over there. Here's what he told me. He said, I saw the need. I have the ability. Why wouldn't I go? He said, I saw the need. I have the ability. I've got the gift. Why wouldn't I go? He said, I couldn't come up with an answer to that question. Why wouldn't I go? Why wouldn't I serve? Why wouldn't I use this gift if I can see the need and I have the ability? He wasn't saying, look at me. He wasn't saying, don't look at me. He said, I see a need. I have the ability. Why wouldn't I go? Some of us today, we're in the room, we're gifted, and you don't see it. And there's all different kind of gift tests you can take. If you want to come to membership track, we'll give you one to help you. But can I tell you, one of the best ways to figure out how God has gifted you is stop looking for a gift. And just look for a need and fill it. Just look for a need and fill it. Decide to step up and make a difference. And in the process, God will often reveal the gift and give the anointing to you to do it. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. We got 3 minutes to wrap this up. Number one, I hope you believe you're gifted to serve in the kingdom. If you don't believe that, the enemy's lied to you and you've believed it. And I would just challenge you to stop believing that today. You're gifted for the kingdom of God. The grace of God that saved you is the same grace of God that's distributed gifts to your life that are kingdom oriented. And here's the second thing, second challenge. If you are able, why would we be unwilling? If you're able and you're unwilling, then I want to challenge you to pray this prayer with me today. Lord, deal with my unwillingness. Deal with my unwillingness today. I want to ask you to keep your attention. I hear the crowd outside, but let me keep your attention for 40 more seconds. We as a church, we're in a very pivotal place. The Lord has sent a massive amount of growth to us in the last 12 to 24 months. And I'm praying this morning specifically that 20 people who are not serving would stand up and say, God, use me. Join a serve team. I believe if we had 20 people who would stand up and say, I'm not serving anywhere now, but I will start serving. You have a gift. I'm telling you there's a need. The only question is, why wouldn't I step up and serve? You're gifted. You've heard the need. Will you respond? There's opportunities for you to serve in our Connect group leaders, and our kids ministry team, our youth ministry team, our hospitality team. Those are places you could help us move the needle if you respond. And I believe that if we had 20 people step up who are not serving currently, I believe that we could reach an additional 100 people. That's what stats tell us. 20 people can help us reach 100 people in the next year. I believe God's called us to reach more people. I don't believe He's called us to come and be satisfied with just reaching me and my family and you and your family. I believe we're supposed to be open-handed and open-eyed to look around us, see the fields, as Jesus said, they're white already for harvest. They're just looking for someone that will say, here am I, use me. So, Father, I pray that today, as you speak to people's hearts and their minds this morning, that there are those who maybe they've just been sitting on the sideline. Some of them have bought the lie that they're not gifted, they're not called, they can't do anything from God. Lord, I just come against that lie in the name of Jesus. They are gifted. They are your people, and they can make a kingdom impact. There's kingdom impacts that will not be made unless they say, Lord, here I am, use me. So God, I pray people would respond to that this morning. If you're sitting here today, say, Pastor, I feel like that is me. I do need to respond. How do I respond to this kind of altar call? It might seem easy, it might seem hard, I'm not sure, but I'm going to give you two ways. Number one, you can take a Connect card out and just write, I am willing to serve, and put your name and drop in a drop box, or just come see me, come see Danetta, come see one of our pastors, Pastor Bethany, Pastor Dave, after service today, and we'll get you connected to serving. So Lord, use us all, in Jesus' name.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.